I do this for my culture.
Peace and welcome back to For the Culture. Here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with us. First and foremost, I'm blessed by I had my big brother, brother Eric Lee, out of the Park Heights community. But now I got my big brother here with me tonight as we talk about the 24th anniversary of the Million Man March. This man needs no introduction. You hear him every Sunday night here on WEAA. He serves as the host of the Final Call radio show. And he's also the Baltimore representative for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. My big brother, Brother Student Minister Carlos Muhammad, is in the building with us Thursday evening.
Man, that's a lot of
late. Brother Minister.
You know, this is normal but strange at the same time.
But normal but strange. How are you, sir?
Man, I'm good. I'm happy to be on For the Culture with my brother. And, man, I listen. I told you I'm an avid fan. I listen. And it hurts when I can't, but I'm glad the podcasts are up now.
And
kind of go back and
absolutely,
you know, listen to the shows. But thank you for always keeping the community abreast of the real issues that's happening every day in our city. And at the same time, giving that balance sometimes of bringing culture and entertainment and laugh.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a laugh,
oh,
you
yeah.
know, is good for the soul.
People
man.
Think you're so serious.
Yeah,
huh?
yeah. So thank you for doing that for us, especially
yes, sir.
People in all that traffic out there every day.
Absolutely. First and foremost, we have to kick off the conversation with the obvious.
Mm-hmm.
It is 10-10-19.
Right. Which says something about 10-10-15.
We got to talk about 10-10-15.
Yeah. Come on
First
now.
And foremost, Brother Minister, you have been in your work as minister. You've been doing your ministry for over 20 years now.
Yeah. This will be 26 years come November.
Hey, Dre Day. Dre Day. 26 years in the ministry, brother.
Man, 26
Come
years.
On. There we go.
Man, big shout out to my leader and teacher, Minister Farrakhan,
right.
for trusting and seeing a vision in his young 20-year-old brother that came to do better with his life and but then eventually want to be a helper. And so I thank him so much for seeing that vision and making sure that he helped guide me and continues to guide me to this very day. But I really appreciate that because, you know, you put a little boy over your followers and saw that if the boy could grow into a man, we would be just fine. And that's a good hallmark of leadership because, you know, we in the age of these gatekeepers and guardians that are bald headed and gray now and don't want to let nobody young. But, of course, when God is backing it, young people just taking their place regardless, you know, because it's theirs to take. So I'm just happy to be a part of all of it.
26 years. Now, a couple of questions. One is we're going to talk about the Million Man March, 1995.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
Was that your first major, like, organizing effort?
Absolutely. It was the biggest thing that I had to tackle not even 1 year into the post, you know, if you will, or into the work of student minister of the city. So it was like, man, we went right for it. and I remember.
And you just, never had any experience?
None.
Organizing?
Nothing. And listen, man, you know, some people, you know, they love to talk about them.
Right.
Hey, but if there's anything great about any of us in the work that we do, you know, my teacher taught me that there are people that have been involved in that process, both good and bad.
Yeah.
Even the negative influences or the things in your life, all of that adds into eventually what God brings out for the greater good.
Mm.
Hey, so big shout out to Pastor John L. Wright. May God forever be pleased with Pastor John L. Wright, a warrior for our community, who was a co-convener with me, Sister Lisa Mitchell, big shout out to her, and all of the brothers and sisters, Brother Atiba, Sister Eartha, so many that came to be a part that helped make it easy for somebody that didn't really know how to organize, especially Pastor Wright. I mean, I carry a lot of what he taught me to this day in terms of organizing and focusing and how to address certain situations when you're doing coalition work.
Right, right.
It's easy to do your thing when you're at home, but when you have to get out and do coalition work, there are strains in that. And so I thank God for him and all of those that made the first historic Million Man March a great, great success from Baltimore.
I would say, Brother Minister, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the Million Man March of 1995, when you're talking about coalition building, as I have grown in understanding organizing work, it was like that is diplomacy excellence.
Yeah.
You have to be an excellent diplomat to bring so many people to the table and keep that energy, keep that spirit going, leading even up to October the 16th, 1995.
Yeah.
Because I know the organizing efforts really kicked off about a year in advance.
Yeah. And it really, it started in January of 1994, January 24th, 1994. We had our first men's only meeting in Harlem at the 369th Street Armory with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan calling for black men to come together. And it was at that meeting with a little over 13,000 black men in the armory that the inspiration of the march came out of the mouth of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And in a spirit of inspiration, he says, and I want to take a million black men to Washington, D.C. And as the Honorable Minister said, he saw them words come out and he said that he wished he could have grabbed them and pulled them back. But God caused them to say it. And so the minister's position was it was said. Now we got to get down to the work. So that's January of 94. So as we worked throughout 1994 with these men's only meetings, now we get into 1995. I remember just now we were on the way, and man, that steam, that momentum picked up. And by the grace of God, we know that it was God's hand in that, because can't nobody call a million people somewhere from a spiritual vein and you dismiss God no matter what persuasion you come from. It would be ridiculous for you to say God didn't have nothing to do with it because Minister Farrakhan's a Muslim. In fact, you should look at the phenomenon that happened. A Muslim called for a million black men, and some report that 85 to 90% of the men on the mall that day were from a Christian background. So it had nothing to do with our personal religions and faith, even though there's one God. And that was the main point, that we came together because God's hand was moving that. And keep in mind, remember the miracle of that is people paid their own way. People, I mean, Spike Lee made a movie about it called Get on the Bus. I mean, people came from all over. And so we know that the glory belongs to God. And that's where Minister Farrakhan is always put in. Greatness came out of that as well, even though we had a lot of detractors and people say nothing was accomplished. But, you know, you can't please everybody.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So when we bring in it, when you're talking about bringing that many black men to the to a very, very powerful place like Washington, D.C. on the mall, here is the same place that you had the March on Washington, led by A. Philip Randolph, where Dr. King spoke. I mean, so many great marches and demonstrations have taken place on that. And you look at just kind of taking a step back, because I don't know if we, I mean, you are a historian. So give us some insight as to the significance of that, of deciding he could have gone to New York.
Yes.
He could have gone to any other place. But the significance of doing that at a time of 1995 where if you lived in the 90s, black men, we were public enemy number one.
Number one. The Clinton administration. Let's keep it 100.
Yeah.
And that is from 1989 all the way up until the moment of inspiration that the words came out. See, remember, we got to go back to Minister Farrakhan was the first black leader to go on a nationwide tour called Stop the Killing. Because he saw that a lot of those government agents and CIA operatives that were over there dealing with the Cold War and the collapse of the Soviet Union at that time, these people had to come back and they had to be placed somewhere for work. And they were reassigned to the black community. And we saw the drug epidemic coming. We saw the prison culture coming. So the minister went out urging us to stop killing one another. Then we get to the point where we saw that the black male now was marked through the prison industrial complex, through these illicit drug laws that was put in place, this super predator piece that the Clintons put into place. And so, again, all of that was driving it behind the scenes. But the minister was already working on that. It was Minister Farrakhan that exposed the crack cocaine conspiracy against black people, only for it to come back to come out in 1996 from the San Jose Mercury News with Gary Webb and really see, man, that really happened. But the minister had already told us that that was a conspiracy that the government did to put in the black community. So when you say Washington, D.C., that's the seat of the most powerful government in the world. And so instead of speaking from the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, where we as a people normally protested and spoke from, we spoke from the steps of the Capitol building where the laws and the power and the seat of power is. And it's also the place that we built our own selves. Our slaves, our ancestors built that Capitol building right. That has never been a source of justice for us, even to this day. But we see new changes taking place in there. So yeah, D.C. Now I'll close with this. Now, I was 95. We went back 5 years later.
Right.
In the year 2000 to address the issue of families.
Yes, sir.
Right. Then it came back 5 years later. From that, now we're 10 years in and we have millions more movement where if you go on YouTube right now and pull that up and listen to how Minister Farrakhan really laid out an agenda that is ecumenical and universal for the black community to get itself together. It addressed gentrification. It addressed violence. It addressed the prison industrial complex, but gave solutions of bringing all of our talented, skilled people from every level, from the political level, from the judicial level, all of these levels to get things done. So, I mean, hey, brother, why not D.C.?
Well, you know what? That makes a lot of sense then. It makes a lot of sense. Folks, if you're just tuning in to For the Culture here on WEAA, I'm talking to Brother Student Minister Carlos Muhammad, the Baltimore representative for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, as well as the host of the Final Call radio show here at WEAA. As we're talking about the 24th anniversary of the Million Man March. Now, I want to speak about something. And then because we know that this weekend is going to be a weekend full of activities for other people to take advantage of. But there was a political tone, because it's in Washington, there was an expectation that this would be a very political march. Mm-hmm. But the minister decided to take all of that political talk and put it into a spiritual place by introducing the eight steps of atonement.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a very, very spiritual, that's a very spiritual process. Talk to us about that reconciliation, because I feel like that's part of the issue that some folks may have about what was the purpose of the march.
Well, you know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan saw that, yes, and it is very clear that our condition, we have not put ourselves in these conditions. However, that we face with the systemic poverty and all of the problems that we face as black people in America, the injustices and things like that. And so certainly we have pointed out and we can point out the source of how we got in that condition. But since those same sources and same group of people and the ancestors of those people seem to not want to do anything to repair, even though that's a whole nother argument that's still going on right now about reparations, it's duty bound that once we get knowledge, once we have a come up, once we begin to do better in some form, it is first to help others do better mm-hmm. and do it for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So if you won't give me a solution, they call peroxide a solution. So if you won't give me a topical solution and a Band-Aid to help that wound heal, then I got to do it for myself. See, and so that's what the minister was saying. So we had to first atone with ourselves as failures, black men, to our women, to our children, and that if the family could become whole, then all the other things that we are suffering from, we could begin to repair on our own. Because there's an old saying, grandma and them used to say it now, God helps those who helps themselves. So mm-hmm. the 8 steps of atonement was a process, because we didn't know what that was. Sometimes we want to make amends with somebody. We just don't know how. We get lost in, okay, we tried, and now we start arguing and fussing again. It's like husband and wife. You want to make up, but you keep trying to find a reason to bring issues back up. So he gave us 8 steps. The first one being, someone must point out the wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That means that ego got to get put in check. You got to put it to the side. The second was, acknowledge the wrong. Just confess and say, hey, I was wrong, and mean it. Then he said, confess the fault first to God, then to those offended. Because God already know you did it, but that's the first step, so that it's pure, it's good, it's right. But then you got to go to the one that you offended and confess the fault. Then he said repentance, a feeling of remorse or contrition or shame for the past conduct, which was wrong and sinful. 5, atonement, meaning to make amends and reparations for the wrong. 6, forgiveness by the offended party, to cease to feel offense and resentment against another for the harm done. 7, reconciliation and restoration, meaning to become friendly and peaceable again. And 8, perfect union with God and with each other.
Mm.
Now, you know, Faraji, that's a lot, but that's a formula. And that's not just a formula for Million Man March. That's a formula for households.
Mm-hmm.
That's a formula for organizations.
Yep.
That's a formula for churches and mosques and masajid. That is universal. That can be applied wherever there seems to be some strife and there needs to be some atonement and reconciliation.
That's a heck of a formula right there.
Mm-hmm.
Heck of a formula. I want to shift gears, because now that we have a formula, and you know, you from Baltimore, you understand the political landscape. At the end of the day, Brother Minister, it still seems like we're having these very circular conversations.
Yeah.
I mean, you've been in the ministry for 26 years.
Mm-hmm.
you've talked to pastors, and I know that as men of God, spiritual men, do y'all come together and scratch your heads and be like, wait a minute, we're telling the people how to change their conditions.
Yeah. Well, there's a thing. I said it two weekends ago coming up when we were taking a stand for ending violence among our children in school. And so to the spiritual community, you know, no matter what faith tradition you come from, but specifically in a black community, I don't think that we lack worship.
Mm.
I don't even think that we lack God. We don't lack praise. We don't lack worship. We don't lack preaching. We don't lack preaching in the form of whatever. We know what to say, how to say it. People respond to what we say.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that's missing is marrying all of what I just described with action. So it's not worship, but worship coupled and married with the action, the to do. See, we make prayers in the church and we say, amen. As a Muslim, we make prayers and we say, I mean. Same thing. But what does that mean? It means that everything that I just said above that, now let me get up and do. Mm-hmm. Let it be. That's the part that's missing when you have people that know what to say, how to say it, have worship, have faith tradition, have skills outside of religion. It's the ability to unite and then get up and go do. And that's taking place now on Monday nights among Muslims and Christians and community men walking the streets of Baltimore, hugging and seeing our people and doing what we do. So big shout out to Dr. Bunley and Brother Andrew Muhammad and all of the pastors and churches that have signed on to the male engagement out in the community. And that's really what the Million Man March was all about. Those are just some of the things that we can do. But I don't want to, let me shift back, because, man, thank you. thank your generation that when we got to a point in 2015, 2015, you all stepped up to the plate to keep that fire alive. And so, and so I'm always, and I've had to defend that point. And there's no disrespect to those that may have did it in the past years. Nobody's dissing that. But I saw, how are we going to move that justice or else agenda forward and then try to put the young people and the millennials in a corner somewhere when it's your time to drive the car? Because y'all just took the car anyway.
Right.
You're going to take it anyway and drive it.
Let me tell you something very quickly.
Man.
Let me tell you something. 10-10-15, Brother Minister, changed my life. I mean, we've always worked together, but mm-hmm. I mean, in that setting, it literally changed my life in terms of, you know, seeing the bigness of our work. And more importantly, not seeing that there's no big eyes and little U's.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like when we came out on the mall on 10-10-15, I had my own family, you know, that was there.
Mm-hmm.
Those who weren't even Muslims. They were like, nah, we going.
Yeah.
We going.
Yeah.
And so it changed my life in the sense of also just seeing the value of what the great teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Minister Farrakhan on that platform. It changed my life in connecting college students.
Yeah.
Because unlike what we saw with 95 in 2015, we probably seen more college students on that mall than we saw in 90 to 95.
Big time.
So it was just life-changing. But I want to make sure we get to this point mm-hmm. because you talked about Dr. Bunley and Brother Andrew. There's going to be a conflict resolution seminar, and the minister is going to be honoring and talking about the Million Man March. Let's put that information out there.
Yeah, definitely. Listen, in the spirit of the Million Man March 24th anniversary, please, this coming Saturday, I know there's a lot going on in the city, but if you want to help make change and you want to learn how to be impactful, come on out to 3701 El Dorado Avenue, Baltimore, Maryland, 21207. That's Forest Park High School, 3701 El Dorado Avenue, Baltimore, Maryland, 21207. Saturday, October 12th, from 1 to 4 p.m., there will be a free conflict resolution seminar. The theme is moving our community from division and hatred to unity and peace. This is being hosted by Challenge to Change. Big shout out to Uncle T, the African American Male Engagement, Dr. Bunley, Baltimore Brothers, Inc., Safe Streets. Myself will be there. Pastor Marvin McKentry, Pastor Antoine Burton from Changing Lives Ministries will be there. Admission is free and youth are welcome.
Mm.
We're not just going to be talking. We're going to be in active circles of dialogue for work. And so, again, Saturday, Forest Park Senior High School, 1 to 4 p.m., conflict resolution seminar, moving our community from division and hatred to unity and peace, all in the spirit of the Million Man March. And then on Sunday.
Go ahead.
Sunday, live, indirect from Chicago at Mosque Number 6. We will be piping in the live broadcast from Chicago. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan will be speaking on the Holy Day of Atonement, 24th anniversary of the Million Man March. You can join us at 3 p.m. at Muhammad Mosque Number 6, 3306 Garrison Boulevard. Doors are going to open at 2 p.m. I know our Sunday meetings are normally at 11, but this Sunday, 3 p.m., Minister Farrakhan live from Chicago. So you'll be able to see and hear the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on widescreen broadcast from Chicago.
So Saturday, 1 to 4,
yep.
for the Community Resolution Seminar,
mm-hmm.
3701 El Dorado Avenue in West Baltimore, Forest Park High School. Come on out. Be a part of it, men and women.
Yes.
Families. Admission is free. Young people are highly encouraged to participate. And then on Sunday, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan will be showing his appreciation for the 24th anniversary of the Million Man March at 3 p.m. at 3306 Garrison Boulevard. Is there big plans for the 25th? Because I know that's major.
Yeah, but it's in effect. But stay tuned. But I will. Can I say something?
Go ahead.
Hey, in that same year, 2020, God willing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Minister Farrakhan returns to Baltimore.
Don't tell me that. Oh, wait a minute. Don't tell me that. That's an exclusive.
Come on. The leader said he want to come back.
Are you serious?
And if that's what he want.
Tell me he's coming to Baltimore. There's plans that are being worked right now to bring this man back to Baltimore.
2020.
2020.
Come on now.
Baltimore City.
Baltimore City. Minister Farrakhan.
Minister Farrakhan.
Strong. Let's go.
We going to see when you put it out. See, I know you a man of protocol. You a company man.
Oh, yeah.
So you know. Okay, there we go.
Well, my leader say he want to come back. I'm going to make everything available to get it.
There we go. All right, folks. Brother Student Minister Carlos Muhammad, thank you so much for coming on to the show. And certainly thank you so much
always.
For being so good for the culture.
Yes, sir.
And thank you for your continued work and service and ministry for the great city of Baltimore. We need you, Brother Minister.
Thank
we
you.
Love you.
Thank you. Love you more, man.
All right. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
All right, folks, we got to take our final break. When we come back, we'll be checking in to give you a way to get your life and businesses in business up to date. We're going to be having our one-on-one with Miss Terry Hudson. Stay riding with us. It's For the Culture on WEAA.
This is a coordinated monthly test of the broadcast stations of your area. Equipment that can quickly warn you during emergencies is being tested. If this had been an actual emergency, such as floods, hurricane, and tornado warnings, official messages would have followed the alert tone. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
I do this for my culture.
Peace and welcome back to For the Culture here on WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Can I tell you folks, one of the beautiful things about this show is being able to talk to people. I'm serious, man. Tonight was just that type of night. I'm serious. I'm talking to some of the most dynamic people that you've ever come across, and each person that I'm speaking to tonight has offered something, has something to say, and something more importantly to share and give to us. And so when you are crossing paths with those type of folks, you can't take it for granted, which is the work of my next and final guest for tonight. She is a former corporate executive. She did more than 30 years at the illustrious AT&T. Mm-hmm. She has done great work in terms of motivational speaking. She's a professional coach, and she's the author of the book, Leave a Legacy That Counts, Create One at Any Age. I'm so happy to have here on For the Culture on WEAA, Miss Terry Hudson. Good evening, Miss Terry. How are you?
Good evening. I'm delighted to be here. Thank you for having me.
I one of the best credits I saved for last.
Hey, come on with it.
You are part of the great class of 1975.
Yes, honey.
Of Morgan State University. Dre Day.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And Dre, but check this out, though. Check this out. This was the last class before Morgan State became a university. She was the last class of Morgan College.
Morgan State College. That is correct. Class of 1975.
Class of 1975. And you said you worked to make Morgan State University a university.
You know, all the students were so engaged. That was our mission. And so when I came to the campus, that was one of the biggest initiatives going. So we were all involved in writing letters and making sure that we played a part in seeing that come to fruition.
Well,
it was awesome.
Welcome back to Morgan State University. Happy homecoming.
Happy homecoming to you. I don't miss them. Happy homecoming.
First, Miss Terry, first, you got a wonderful spirit, great spirit.
Thank you.
And it seems like you really do have. And when I said about being able to share, I love being able to talk to people that have something to say.
Well, you know, I love to talk, too, not just write a book. So. I have a lot of things to say.
You have a lot to say.
I do.
But you wrote a book that's actually about leaving a legacy.
Yes, I am just committed to inspire people to think about their legacy right now.
Yeah.
Not when you die. Don't worry about what you leave when you die. But you have an opportunity to leave something, and I call it a deposit. You deposit something in every person that you meet. You have a right and a responsibility to use the skills, the talents that God has given you, that He didn't give them to you for you. He gave them to you to really uplift and affirm somebody else. And so my book is about using your values, using your divine purpose to figure out how do you leave a legacy that is meaningful, whether you're a student, you know, working. It doesn't matter what age you are to leave a legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And that legacy should be something that you do intentionally. You think about it right now. What do you want people to say about you when you leave this station 5 years from now?
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to say that you left here for the next person?
Mm.
Legacy is really about contribution.
Mm. And so too often the conversation about legacy, Ms. Terry, usually comes at the tail end at the twilight years of
yes.
your endeavor.
Yes, and about money. Yes.
Right. But you're saying that the real starting point for legacy is when, what, when you start?
When you start. I use a good example. Marley
sure.
Diaz, 10 years old, says, there are no books for little black girls that look like me. So she set a goal of finding 1,000 books, called 1,000 Black Girl Books, that had authors who had written stories about her. She was going to donate them at 10 years old.
Mm.
I think she's 13 or 14 now. She mm-hmm. has donated over 15,000 books.
Wow.
So she's creating a legacy not only in her name, but now she's affirming black girls everywhere.
Yeah.
And she's donating books to people who may not have ever seen a book that looks like them, that talks about them, that affirms them. That's a legacy. She's a teenager. Already creating a legacy. Age doesn't matter. It's really what's in your heart. What is it that interests you, whether it's health or, you know, education, music, whatever it is, there's an opportunity for you to use that to create a legacy of some form.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That's deep.
Money's good. Don't get
right,
me wrong.
Right. Come on, talk about the bag.
I love money.
Come on, let's talk about the bag.
Okay, because
right?
people want to leave money, and I'm going to say this to our people, everybody who's out there listening. Save your money first. Invest your money first so that then you can leave a legacy, yes, of money, but then you want to leave it to Morgan State University. You want to leave it to causes that matter to you
W-E-A-A.
As well. There you go. WEAA. Give some money to the cause right here,
W-E-A-A
brother.
WEAA is about legacy.
Hey, that's right. Leaving a legacy.
Wink, wink.
Hey, I'm with you.
So, no, yeah. no, you're absolutely right. So the whole narrative about money, because I think now we're in this very, very kind of like materialistic space.
Yes. Yes.
About money. Everybody, everything is money oriented, mm-hmm. money driven.
Mm-hmm.
You've been around money.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. I've been around
You've
money.
You've been around money, mm-hmm. had money. I've mm-hmm. heard people that I've talked to that are wealthy, they always come across, and my producer Alex and I, we talk about this all the time, that people that have money, they always talk about how they had it, they don't have it. They have it, and they don't have it. Like, you can't rely on that.
You cannot rely on money or other material things. You know, real estate. You might own real estate today. I'm trying to sell another house that I don't live in Dallas today. Those things are transient. They come and go. But values, the things that you hold dear, the things that you have gained from your ancestors or the people that came before you, those matter and those are sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
When you believe that, and I'll give another example, education, since we're at Morgan.
Yes.
When people think about that, I remember my mother being the very first person in her family to go to college and had three children. had never been to school. But she was teaching from 5 years old, teaching other adults to read and write. She understood the value as a child of what education might do for her. She couldn't afford it early on, but when she could, she went to school. She insisted that each of us understand the value of education. We now pass that on to our children. We pass that on to our friends. Go to school. 4 years will pass whether you do anything or not. Get your butt in school.
Right, right, right. But that's your values.
The value is understanding education.
Does your values dictate your legacy?
Your values give you a foundation for the legacy.
Okay. Okay.
Your values and your interest give you a foundation for the legacy. And when you use the skills and talents that you've been given, because each of us has a different set.
Sure.
Those help you maybe frame out where you want to do that. So think about people who spend all their energy helping other people. There are all kinds of ways to help people. You could be a paramedic. You could be a social worker. You could be somebody who helps people cross the street. But it's based on those talents that you have that really guide you into where you want to spend that energy.
410-319-8888. Have you been a pastor before, Ms. Terry?
No, but I can preach.
I knew it. I knew it. I felt the ministry blood.
I come from the minister.
I knew that.
Brother's a minister. Granddad's a minister.
I knew
Dad's a deacon.
You know what? My legacy is I'm psychic.
Hey.
410-319-8888. We're talking to Ms. Terry Hudson, author of the book, Leave a Legacy That Counts. Create one at any age. If you want to talk to Ms. Terry about leaving a legacy, if you want to talk to her about coaching, she's a professional coach. She's a mentor. She is a business executive. I mean, she's walked in many different spaces, folks. Tonight will be a great opportunity for you to have a conversation about what maybe your next step may be.
Yes,
you may find yourself in a space of uncertainty. You may find yourself in a space of darkness. You may believe that, you know, that you're not living, quote unquote, your best life. Where do you start?
Yes.
So, Ms. Terry, I want to pose that question to you for those who are in those spaces. Where do they start?
I think the first thing is to get in touch with what's real to you. You know, we can get so sidetracked with social media and what other people say you're supposed to be, who you're supposed to be. I say, what did God say you're supposed to be? And do you understand what that is?
Yeah.
If you don't know that, then first spending some time, I think, in prayer and meditation to figure out what's, you know, who am I? What am I all about? If you're thinking specifically about leaving a legacy, I do believe it's easier to think of interest. So what interests you? You're in a space where you don't know what you want to do. What do you like to do? Do you like to be inside or outside? Basic things like that. Would you rather be outside in the day than in the inside? Okay, so then maybe you're into gardening, or maybe you might love the stars. So whatever those interests are, identify what those things are, number one. Number two, once you've identified them, then figure out, where do I fit into that whole ecosystem of interest? What can I then provide to somebody else? It's all about what you're going to contribute. Legacy is not about you. I need to back up. Legacy is not about what you own or any of that. Legacy is what you contribute to other people, what you deposit in other people. So what is it that you have to give? That's the first thing. What do you have to give?
What
do people
you
say,
have to give?
I may not have much to give. I don't have any money. You don't need money.
Come on.
It's your skills. It's your knowledge. It's what have.
It's
what do you
platform,
have fervor
right?
about? Right. Right. That's what you have to give. And we know the old adage, the more you give, the more you receive.
But you know what? And you know what, Ms. Terry, I'm so glad you brought that up, because even when I think about some level of doing charity, right? I was always taught that even your intention for doing something is just as important as the action itself.
Absolutely. In fact, I believe the action begins with intention.
Right.
You need to have intention about how you start your day.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a ritual for how I start my day. I have a ritual for how I start my writing process.
You seem pretty successful, because so can you give us a sneak peek?
Oh, sure. Let me give you an example of my book. I had never written a book before.
Okay.
I'm good at a lot of things. I'm excellent at a lot of things.
Go ahead. Come on.
I was coaching other people and realized, I don't know much about writing a book and publishing. I need a coach. I went to hire myself a coach. Then, after I did that, I thought, how do I start the day? So my writing day looks like this. I get up. I go to the gym. I work out 5 days a week. I come back.
Come on. You got my team.
Hey.
You know, we're gym rats.
Five days a week. I need to tell you, I'm 65 years old.
Come on.
This is what it looks like.
Hey, Dre, you know what to do, bro.
This is what it looks like.
Dre, come on.
Just had a birthday.
Go to WEAA Facebook page so you can see what Miss Terry is cooking.
So, after I come from the gym, I shower, and then I do this. I love tea, so I go to my counter. I look at all my teas. I pull out my tea leaves. I mix up what I want to mix. I brew the tea. I smell the tea. I slow down. I walk over to my beautiful office. I turn on some beautiful music. I turn on some aromatherapy. I pray for 5 minutes.
You go to work.
And then I go to work. That's my ritual. It's the same every time I go to work. So that my mind knows it's work time because I've worked out, I've had my tea, I've got my music, and I've got the aromatherapy going. It's time to go to work. When you have a ritual, your body and your mind then knows it's prepared to do what is next. Sounds boring, but it works when you have a ritual. You know, you have to do this stuff. You got to do this stuff, right?
I think the show is over. Thank you all for tuning in.
Got to do it.
No. You're dropping some jewels tonight, Miss Terry. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Folks want to talk to you, 410-319-8888. We got Glord on the line. Glord, thank you so much for your patience and checking in. What's your question for Miss Terry Hudson?
Yes, I tell you, she's a Libra, I'm a Libra. That's a good thing.
Really,
happy
Glord,
birthday.
You just come out there taking ownership.
Mine is October the 1st, Libra all the way.
Okay, yes, sir.
Had doctors from Morgan called doctors, the book from the Zodiac sign.
Yeah.
Chart.
Yes.
I always tell people you need to have a zodiac sign done in order to know your sign. But getting to the legacy, my legacy is I had like four successful business, and then I started the home improvement, and from that point on, I got into assisted living facility because I had learned a lot of skills through the years through education. Going through different communities, different jobs and everything. So when I got to the point that I wanted to leave something behind and the knowledge, you know, to other people that wanted to pick up and start assisted living, because I have a lot of knowledge about opening up assisted living because I did it for 20 years. So I had two of them. So that was my legacy. And I picked up being a community person and doing a lot of things within the community. And I reached out to a lot of people, dug in my pocket, you know, and it wasn't about the money, but it was just the idea. I enjoyed doing it because we had, you know, people need, you know, our input on a lot of things. So that was my legacy, you know, in leaving assisted living information for somebody that wants to linger on or start a business, you know.
I hear that, Glory. Thank you so much.
Yes, that's awesome. You know, that's what I mean. It's where his interests were.
Absolutely.
And so he found a way to, you know, replicate that for other people. That's great.
Absolutely. Let's go back to the phone lines, 410-319-8888. We got Lawton on the phone. Lawton checking in from Baltimore. What's your question?
Well, I just want to ask her, how do we break down that cycle of selfishness and get your mind and refocus your mind to legacy works and doing things for other people, which, you know, creates that legacy. And I just think that, you know, well, let me speak for myself, being impoverished and coming from a legacy of impoverishment, you know, it's like me. Mm-hmm. I got to get mine. I have to do for myself. I have to do for my family. Forget everybody else. I have to get mine, you know, coming from that impoverished state of mind, you know, I'm like, I got to grab everything I can for myself. So how do you
That's a great point. Great question.
How do you break, how do you get from that mindset of having nothing and you know, and cherishing the things that you get and want to hoard them, so to speak, and, you know, that selfishness to a legacy of helping others? How do you break that down?
I think it
starts
from, you know, one person. I didn't come from a lot. My family didn't have a lot of money. We didn't have a lot of material things. But we had love and we had understanding of community. So some of that comes from not having community support. If you needed something in my community, in my small community in Columbia, South Carolina at the time, somebody was going to give you some beans. Somebody was going to give you the butter. Somebody would give you the flour if that's what you needed. And so the sense of community is where a lot of this starts. If you don't have it in your family, then perhaps in the community. It takes just one person. And my one person was my mother. My mother changed the face of a community by being first, to say, I'm going to go to school. I might be poor. I might have three children. I might be working in the factory, but I'm going to make a difference here. So that one person then can inspire other people. But it does take somebody to say, enough is enough. We don't want to be poor in spirit. See, being poor in money is one thing. Being poor in spirit, to me, is worse.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so it's trying to figure out, how do I make sure that the spirit within my family is one of strength? And strength means that I'm sharing with other people. I share what little I have, because the more we all share, then the bigger the pie really gets.
Right. So you're saying that even if you are financially, you know, you have financial restraints.
Yes. Yes.
That you should still give.
And giving doesn't have to be money. Giving is time. Giving is you see somebody on the corner that needs some discussion about their behavior. You give that discussion gently with love, but you give that discussion. So giving does not have to be monetary. Now, I think giving with money is great when you give that money freely. But I would first say, give to yourselves. We don't save any money. We spend paycheck to paycheck every dime we have. I would tell you that if you first pay yourself, it could be 10 cents, a dollar, be consistent with it. If you saved a dollar every week of the year, you got $52. You change that to $10. As you grow. And as you save money and can invest that money, you show other people how to get that done. And then, of course, you have money to give away.
That's true. That's very true.
But it starts with a consistent contribution to yourself.
We have a few moments left, Ms. Terry. What first and foremost, how can people get a copy of your book?
Absolutely. Thank you for asking that. You can go to my website at Terry Hudson, TerrieHudson.com. I am blessed to be on Amazon.
Fantastic.
Barnes & Noble.
Go ahead.
And Apple.
Go ahead.
And I have two versions of the book. I have a print book and I have an ebook.
That's what I'm talking about.
Ebook.
So this is your first book.
My very first book. I'm writing book number two. I'm drafting book number two. I haven't written much on it yet. I'm outlining book number two. But yes, this is my first book, and I never knew how much I would love the discipline of writing.
Yeah.
Yes, I love it.
The discipline of writing.
The discipline of writing. And I honestly want to leave you with one last thing.
Sure.
Leave a legacy is so important. I want people to think about being intentional about their legacy. What is it that you really want to impart to other people? Be selfless, because legacy is not about you. It's about what you're depositing in other people. Be bold. We sometimes tamp down our bold ideas, or other people tell us our bold ideas are too big. Don't let that happen. Big ideas just take little incremental steps to achieve them. And then the last one I would say to you is write your memoir. Or your obituary, if you so choose. You write that now, you'll see all the things that are missing because you haven't done them yet. It's sort of a roadmap for what you want to do. Deposit your best in people, not in your bank account.
Come on, Miss Terry.
And leave a legacy that really counts.
There it is. Leave a legacy that counts. Create one at any age.
This is Terry Duvall Hudson.
Yes. Miss Terry might have another interest in doing radio.
You know, I like this. I do.
This
I do.
This might be another endeavor for you, Miss Terry.
I can add another slash behind my speaker,
you're about
coach,
to say, you got like six
author.
Miss Terry, no, real talk. We appreciate you for coming on For the Culture tonight. We thank you so much for sharing some insight. And I know that people are hearing you tonight and hopeful.
I'm
inspired.
Good.
Because, you know, I'm thinking about my legacy each and every day. I have two children. Right. I have a wife.
That's right.
I have a family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we work within the community. So, you know, legacy building is an absolute, it's a vitally important.
It is. It is important. That's how we sustain ourselves, but that's also how we replicate ourselves.
Right.
And when we're gone from the job or whatever, that's what we want to leave. It's what did you leave behind?
You're absolutely right.
What did you leave behind?
What did Baltimore?
You leave? What did you leave?
What did you leave behind?
Yes.
Heartache and pain or a legacy to build?
Legacy of hope, inspiration, generosity.
I love it. Absolutely love it. Miss Terry, thank you so much for being on For the Culture. And most importantly, thank you for being so good for the culture.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been a blast.
Absolutely. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us. I want to thank my dynamic production team. It's Mallory Pinker-Pierre, Alex Blanc, Dre Day, and of course, my production assistant, Marissa. Make sure you continue the conversation on all of our social media platforms at WEAA. And you can follow me at Faraji Muhammad, F-A-R-A-J-I-I, Muhammad, on all social media platforms. And of course, check out WEAA.org, where you can get all of the latest and greatest shows from the past week of my show of For the Culture, as well as Today with Dr. K. You can find all of that at WEAA.org. Stay tuned. It's up next is In the Groove with my big sister, LaDawn Black. You've been at Cool Jazz and R&B and Neo Soul for your evening. So stick around for that. Of course, it is homecoming weekend here at Morgan State University. So if you are a Morgan State alumni or even a Morgan State College alumni, make sure that you join us all this week as we continue to celebrate the 150th and 50th plus anniversary of Morgan State University. And just being around all of your former classmates and all of the new classmates, sharing your insight and your wisdom. So the big game is going to be happening this weekend. We're going to have our School of Global Journalism and Communication brunch this Saturday. Join us. As always, never be afraid to challenge what's wrong. Stand for what's right while being yourself in the process. Talk to you soon, Baltimore. And as always, be good, but be exceptionally good for the culture. Peace.